Dr. Bob Wood, Executive Vice President Emeritus, will be preaching for us this morning, and he's asked that we read from Genesis chapter 27. Genesis 27, verses 6 to 38. Pivotal event in Jacob's life. Genesis 27, begin reading in verse 6. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob, her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak, and Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison, and make me savory meat, that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord, before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice, according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock, and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, Behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father peradventure will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me, and not a blessing. And his mother said unto him, Upon me be thy curse, my son, only obey my voice, and go fetch me them. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory meat such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, Because the Lord thy God brought it to me. And Isaac said unto Jacob, Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother's Esau's hands, so he blessed him. And he said, Art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. And he said, Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat. And he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, Come near now, and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him, and said, See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven, and the fatness of the earth, and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be every one that curseth thee, and blessed be him that blesseth thee. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. And he also had made savory meat, and brought it unto his father, and said unto his father, Let my father arise and eat of the son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac his father said unto him, Who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly, and said, Who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it to me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest, and have blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, and said unto his father, Bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, Thy brother came with subtlety, and hath taken away thy blessing. And he said, Is not he rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. And he said, Hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, Behold, I have made him thy Lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants, and with corn and wine have I sustained him, and what shall I do now unto thee, my son? And Esau said unto his father, Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. May God bless the preaching and the teaching of his word to us this morning.
Thank you for reading that passage so well, Dr. Berg. One of the blessings of ministry is to be around for a long time and watch young men grow up and be old men. I was just thinking as Dr. Berg was reading and I was looking at his gray hair. The first time I saw him, he was a student. And the Lord has used him greatly and developed his talents, and he's reaching a lot of people for God. That's thrilling. And the same thing can happen to you if you'll live in the will of God. In this passage of Scripture in Genesis chapter 27, I realize it was a long story that was read and you're hearing this morning, but there is much here that we need to learn. The study of human nature is most interesting. But the study of family dynamics is probably even more interesting because each of us belong to an earthly family. And God's given us these real life stories to reveal the truth and teach us things to avoid and things to emulate. In the story read in your hearing this morning, here's what we really see: a familiar family failure. Each of you are a member of a family, so this lesson pertains to you. There's great teaching in here for you. This failure created bitterness in the life of one of the family members, and that bitterness stayed with him until he died. The other, as an older man, got over his bitterness and died in peace. What is it that affects your life? What is it that affects your relationships with other people? Your relationships start when you're born, and you build a relationship within your own household. But something happened in this household that created a great problem. And even though this is the foundation of the people that teach us the truth of God, God reveals even the bad things in their lives to teach us to avoid those things. In verse 34, we read, When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great exceeding bitter cry and said to his father, Bless me, even me also, my father. This is the first time in Scripture we see the word bitter. It's a fascinating word used often in the Scripture. And it's expressed with reference to unpleasant experiences of taste and smell. You know, if you've picked up a glass of milk out of the refrigerator and it's old, it gives forth an odor that tells you, don't drink this. It's spoiled. It's ruined. Well, we use the same figure of speech in English. If someone really upsets us, we say about that person, they did something that really galls me. I think that comes from Acts chapter 8 when Peter said to Simon the sorcerer, I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and therefore the bonds of iniquity. What is gall? It's a yellowish green fluid secreted by the liver for the digestion of food. It has a horrible, lingering, and acrid taste and odor. The term in Scripture is used to express emotional response to a heart-crushing, destructive situation. Something that overwhelms us emotionally and causes us great anger. The Hebrew words translated into many different English words in the Scripture. And these words that it's translated into give us a clue of what it really means. One, it's often translated into angry. Something that happens to you to cause you to be angry. Number two, chafed. Number three, discontented. Number four, heavy. A heavy spirit. These words define for us a picture of the lives who become poisoned by bitterness. Here's the way they turn out. They're angry, irritable, discontent, depressed people. Don't you know some people like that? It could have been a reaction to circumstances within their family that created these problems for them. No wonder the writer of the book of Hebrews warned God's people in saying, "Look diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, whereby many be defiled." And it literally says in the Greek, "most are defiled by bitterness, anger, hostility, serious problems for us." What can we learn here this morning in just a few minutes from this familiar family failure? And that's the title of the message. This familiar family failure creates a trail of tears throughout our lives. We often, as Esau did, carry it through adulthood. And that's a frightening thought. Where does it come from? I read numerous articles in medical journals and psychological journals about this problem of sibling rivalry. When children within a family can't get along, the first point I want you to understand are divisions within the family. Verse 25 said, "Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob." The parents' affection. That's where it all starts. If you play favorites with one child, or you lift one child above another, or one child has gifts and talents the other child doesn't have, and you say, "I wish you could do math like Joe does math. Why don't you grasp this?" Those things that seem relatively insignificant and small to us is a root of bitterness that can spring up in us and create great problems. Let me just read you a couple of paragraphs. One is published in Psychology Today, and it's a paragraph on sibling rivalry. "Where few adult siblings have severed their ties and relationships completely with their siblings, approximately one-third of them describe their relationship as adults as rivals, as distant. They don't get along with their sibling. They have little in common. They spend limited time together. They use words like competitive, humiliating, and hurtful to depict their childhood memories." See, the family is the basic unit of God's economy. The church is the family of God. If the family is the basic unit of God's economy, it's going to constantly be under attack by Satan. And if Satan can create these situations that many can carry on into their lifetime as adults, and what do you think happens to their children? How do you think those children look at life? How do you think they grow up when they have children? It's a serious and a very deep problem. It's a problem of the parents' affections. University of Michigan Healthcare System also published an article on sibling rivalry. And it said one of the biggest ways to avoid sibling rivalry in children's lives is don't play favorites. This is one of the biggest. Try not to compare your children one with another. Don't say things like your brother or sister does such and such better than you do. Now that sounds simple. But remember, the writer of Hebrews warned us about a root of bitterness, something that springs into a full-blown tree, an obstacle that stands in our way and keeps us from growing as we should grow. The parents' affection and how it's dispersed among the children is probably the base of this problem. But then there's the problem of attitudes. Look at chapter 25 for just a moment, verse 29 through 34. Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Jacob sowed pottage, and Esau came in from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with the same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore, my name will be called Edom." And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." What does this mean? Birthright. The eldest child received one half of the inheritance of the father, but had the responsibility of taking care of his siblings, and particularly his mother. That went to the first child. Esau was the oldest child, but his brother Jacob, through trickery, stole that birthright from him. Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright be to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day," and swear unto him, and he sold his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way, because Esau despised his birthright. Here's an attitude. Why do I want a birthright? Why do I want to be responsible for all my brothers and sisters? Why do I want to be responsible for my mother? Why do I need all of this on me? You see, Esau had an improper view of responsibility. As firstborn, that was his responsibility. It wasn't something he was allowed to choose or reject. It was his responsibility. And it showed a lack of respect. And why did it show a lack of respect? God created this and gave it to his people to teach them how to raise their families. And it came from God, but Esau had no respect for the laws of God. You want to ruin your life? You want to have serious, serious problems? You want to find yourself unhappy and bitter and unable to get along with people? Then have disrespect for God's laws. Treat them lightly. Treat this book lightly. Act as if it doesn't matter to you or it doesn't mean anything to you. But it should. And it does. Here's why he had an improper view of respect. Here's Esau's problem. Genesis 26, 34 and 35. Esau was 40 years old when he took a wife, Judith, the daughter of Bera the Hittite, and Beshmah, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, which were a grief unto Isaac and to Rebekah. He married against his parents' wishes. He didn't let them play any part in the choice of a mate. As a matter of fact, he chose mates from a different ethnic background that created great problems within his family. Your parents, particularly if they're Christian and godly parents, should play a big part in helping you find the mate that God has for you. You talk about bitterness. You allow Satan to cause you to choose the wrong mate in life, and life becomes extremely difficult. And extremely difficult for a long, long time. You know, Josephus wrote about this in his History of the Jewish People. Here's what he said. Esau was taking upon himself the authority and pretending to have dominion over his own marriages, without so much as even asking advice from his father or his mother. You see, he rejected authority. Now we're looking again at how we become bitter and hostile and angry in our lives. If we reject authority, the authority of God, the human authorities we have, it can only cause us to be bitter. We don't like rules. We don't like those laws. We don't like those directions. Therefore, we'll not pay any attention to them. We'll reject them. And the disrespect of rejecting the laws of God, and the disrespect of rejecting the leadership of your parents, created in you an attitude of bitterness and discontent and irritability. The other thing about Esau that was created was an improper view of his future. Esau lived for today. Let's go hunting today. Let's have a good time today. Let's forget about family responsibilities. Let's forget about what part we play in the life of this entire family. Here's what Alexander White said of Esau. The things that are unseen and eternal had neither substance nor evidence to Esau compared to the things that are seen and temporal. Jacob, with all his faults, had eyes and a heart for the unseen and spiritual future. All right, here's another great point for us to learn. If we can't see down the road the results of our actions today, they can cause us to be extremely bitter as we get older. Can you see down the road to the future? The decisions you make today, the actions you take today, can you see that they will dramatically alter your life and there's a future effect for that? Salvation is something that you place in your heart and mind because of the future. Because you want to spend eternity with God and not in hell. So we're concerned about the future. Young people, think about the future. If God tarries in sending the Lord Jesus after us, most of you have many years left. But you're making decisions every day today that will affect your future. What kind of person you are. What kind of wife or husband you are. What kind of parent you are. What kind of relationship you have with those in your own church or in your own circles. Where did all this come from? Verse 9 through 13 tells us it came from deception in the family. And where deception exists, bitterness thrives. Where you are dishonest, where you don't tell the truth, where you misrepresent facts, creates bitterness and rivalry and a discomfort in life. The mother. You see where Esau got his problem with a lack of respect. Her growing bitterness over Isaac's love of Esau caused her to deceive her own husband. Think about this just a minute. Jacob, the father, is focused on one son. And listen to the simple reason he likes the meat he brings in from hunting. He likes the way it's prepared, so he shows all of his efforts and his love and his energy toward this son Esau. And so what does a mother do when the father chooses to play favorites with his children? She chooses the other partner. And this says she loved Jacob. But you know what? Her love, and it was love, her love for her son Jacob created a great cleavage within the family. Because the father, Jacob, made bad choices about Isaac. The mother made the same bad choices with Jacob, trying to offset the failure of the father. Why am I saying all this? Each of you are raised in families. The psychology books tell us that 70% of the families have some problem with sibling rivalry. They further tell us that in adulthood, 30% of those people carry their anger from their childhood into their adulthood, and it affects their entire life. If that's true, this message applies to at least 30% of you. Her growing bitterness over Isaac's love caused her to set aside God's authority structure again. She takes the authority from her husband and places it in Jacob. And any time God's authority structure is violated, bitterness rules. Whether it's your home or my home, bitterness rules. God created an authority structure in everything He did. There are authorities in your life as long as you live. And how you respond to those authorities and how you treat them and how you receive what they try to teach you. And even when you disagree with them, how you disagree with them is extremely important. By the way, Isaac lied about Rebecca being his sister in Genesis 26. That's an interesting story. He was afraid of being killed. But what this parent does 45 years later, the sons do. You learn your basic entrance into life through your family. That's where you spend your early years. That's why being a parent is so important. That's why it has such a gigantic responsibility before God. Being the right kind of a parent. The son in verse 18 through 20. Look at the son. And he came unto his father and said, "My father," and he said, "Here am I. Who art thou, my son?" And Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, thy firstborn. I've done according to that that thou biddest me. Arise, I pray thee, and eat of my venison, and that thou may bless my soul." And Isaac said unto his son, "How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son?" Now listen to this. This is important. And Jacob said, "Behold, because the Lord thy God brought it to me." Jacob raised in a household where deception reigned, he becomes deceptive. But he was so deceptive that he blamed his deception on God. He says to his father, "This happened in a hurry because God took me to the venison quickly. And it's prepared for you. So God did all this." How many times have you blamed God for your failures? How many times do you look at what God's done in this book and say it's wrong? He lies to his earthly father, but he lied about his heavenly father. These things go hand in hand. They're a partnership. Deception and lies are the devil, for the scripture tells us that the devil is a liar and the father of all liars. He's having victory in this set of circumstances. He could have justly taken the birthright as far as Esau was concerned, because he traded for it years earlier. But did he use that to justify his deception to his father? Always working away. Jacob, the supplanter. A guy who's always figuring the angles so that he might win and that he might come out on top. Verse 36 says, "These two times did he deceive me." What does that mean? You treat your parents with disrespect when you are young, and you will find that generally your children will treat you with disrespect later. My friends, I can't express to you how important the family is, how important the attitudes and atmosphere upon which families are raised is to you and to your future and your outlook on life. You need to realize these truths. Then we see the disasters in the family. Just take a look at now we are looking at the first family God used to put together His people. Why is He so revealing to us? Because of the importance of understanding what God is saying. There are disasters in this family. The first thing we see are strained relationships. What do you mean, strained relationships? Just look closely. Isaac is mad at Rebekah. Isaac is mad at Jacob. Esau is mad at Jacob. As a matter of fact, in verse 41, he says, "When my father dies, I will kill my brother." Friendly family, right? I don't want to be so disrespectful as to kill him while my father's still around. But as soon as my father's gone, I'll kill him. So what does Jacob do? He runs. He runs to another city, to another family. What happens there? He can't get along with his father-in-law, Laban. And then Rebekah, his wife, steals from her father and takes valuable idols, not valuable because they were worth anything spiritually, but valuable because they were probably made of gold. So she steals from her own father. And now he's got to run again. Young people, you can spend the rest of your life running from problems, or the rest of your life solving problems, and find out what it means to be happy in the Lord. Find out what it means to understand the Lord. And then we had a suspicious reunion, not only strained relationships. Jacob had a strained relationship with his father-in-law. His wife that he married there had a strained relationship with her father. What trouble. Then he has to leave because he's not performing well in the relationship with his wife's family. And on the way back, he meets Esau coming after him. Wow. Now we got trouble. Jacob, though, remember, he's a supplanter. He can figure a way out. So he takes his tribe of people and his animals and he divides them in half and he said, "Esau can only kill half of us this way. I'll salvage something." Can you imagine what kind of problem that is within one family? Can you imagine the trouble within that? Can you imagine the heartache and the pain of fearing that your brother has threatened to kill you? And after these years that you've been away in another country and taken a wife and built your own family, then you find you're meeting your brother face to face again. I've counseled with many people who had severe problems with their own family. It's a very painful set of circumstances. The third thing we see in the disasters in the family is a strained relationship. Genesis 32:6. "And the messengers returned to Jacob saying, We came too by thy brother Esau, and he also came to meet thee with 400 men with him. Jacob is saying, wow, you know, we had a lot of fights at home when we were alone. But Jacob's a hunter. He's an outdoorsman. He's accurate with weapons. And he's got 400 guys with him. And he's coming to meet me. You want to set up some really difficult circumstances for the future? You don't pay attention to the truth of this message. And you'll see how difficult the future can be. Verse 7, then Jacob was greatly afraid and he was distressed. And he divided the people that were with him and the flocks and the herds and the camels and the two bands. And said, if Esau come to one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape. You ever seen any circumstances like that? Have you ever faced within your own family, with your own friends, this kind of circumstances? The last thing we see is a sad revelation. There is great distress within this family. And God is showing us the distress of the family He chose to lead His people so that we can understand how prevalent this is in our lives. Yes, this is the first book in the Bible. And yes, this is old, old writings. But it's very current problems. It's going on in many homes today. And there's much pain and sorrow in those many homes. The writer of Hebrews again said, follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness stringing up trouble you, thereby many be defiled. Lest there be a fornicator or a profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. I can't tell you in the long ministry God's given me how many times I've seen young people ruin their whole life from bad decisions. It's a frightening thing. Verse 17 of Hebrews 12. And this is important. For you know that afterwards when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it with tears. What this literally says is that all of his life, Esau was a bitter man, an unhappy man. He founded a group of people that were unhappy people. The people of Moab, the people that were that God didn't even want the children of Israel to go through their land when they were released from Egypt. And he could find no way to change his mind. He could find no way to get out of the problems that he caused and the mess he'd made. Thank God, after Jacob wrestled with the angel of God, which I think is a Christophany in the Old Testament, and he became a prince with God. He died a relatively peaceful man. But you see a clear dividing line. So often in Scripture we see a clear dividing line. How the relatives of one party goes in the wrong direction, of Cain, and the relatives of another party, Seth, go in the right direction. These are family influences that cause these decisions. A familiar family failure. Hebrews 11:21. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped leaning on the top of his staff. Genesis 49:33. When Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet into the bed and yielded up the ghost and gathered to his people. And Joseph fell upon his father's face and wept with him and kissed him. And Matthew said, I'm the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but God of the living. Jesus said, the God of Jacob, Genesis 49:28. All these are the 12 tribes of Israel, and this it is that their father spake unto them and blessed them. Everyone according to his blessing, he blessed them. You know, Jacob learned something from this. Jacob had a different outcome. When it came time for him to die, he got all of his children together and he blessed each one of them and gave them a spiritual charge about the future, as we see David giving a spiritual charge unto Solomon. Family, the basic unit of God's economy. Jacob's life ended in serenity and blessing. It shows the power of God to transform corrupt human character. And that's what he did with Jacob. But Esau became the father of the Edomites. And he found no place of repentance, no way to change his mind. He never got over his bitterness. Probably the tears he had before he died were not because of what he'd done wrong, but because he did not get what he wanted. What a bitter and terrible, terrible life. Well, this family shows us a lot about family dynamics. It's just as germane to us today as it was those thousands of years ago. In the family of Rebekah and Isaac, you have all been affected by the family that you've been raised in. You know what relationship you have with your own siblings. But do you know what relationship God wants you to have? Do you know how important the family is to God? You don't need to live the rest of your life in bitterness and angry. You need to make these things right before God. Would you stand, please? Heavenly Father, I thank you for this passage of Scripture. I thank you for the truth you reveal to us in it. And I pray that these young people might realize it is for all of us today. I pray that they might understand that the family is the basic unit of your economy. And that you love the family. And that you want the family to be at peace and supportive of one another and love one another. And yet Satan would like to tear up our families and your family, the church. So God, speak to hearts this morning.